Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome once again to Journey into Oneness. I am your host, Darlene Soa, coming to you from the pristine and powerful mountains of Western North Carolina. With this past Monday's full moon lunar eclipse and Tuesday's 8-8 Lion's Gate and a phenomenal solar eclipse coming up, we are now in the most powerful, challenging, paradigm-shifting time of the year, no doubt. And it is so synchronistic that we have with us today Liz Gunn, an intuitive astrologer who will help us use this pregnant time to leap forward on our own personal journey, as well as helping the planet shift forward as well. But before we bring Liz on, I'd like to take a few minutes just to get settled in this energy and focus on some conscious breathing. Conscious breathing is a wonderful tool that can help us back to our center and anchor us into the present moment with love. And that's regardless of what's happening in the outside world. So at least for the next few minutes, stop all multitasking and just get into a comfortable position. Allow yourself to be fully present, focusing only on your breath. In addition to bringing you back to center, the breath can be an opportunity for self-study. For within the breathing cycle, you embody your habits of receptivity and surrender. The way in which you take in life, the inhalation, and the way in which you let go. So as you're breathing, just your own slow, conscious breath, notice how you receive the inhalation. Is there any urgency, or is it with a relaxed sense of gratitude and openness? And notice when you exhale, if it's with reluctance and relief, or is it with a calm and peaceful surrender? Often, just by focusing on our breath, our breathing becomes more balanced and smooth. And as our breathing becomes balanced and smooth, so does our life. The breath is so simple and yet so amazingly powerful. And speaking of an amazingly powerful person, so is our guest. Liz Gunn lives and works in Asheville, North Carolina, as a full-time consulting intuitive astrologer. Her life path with astrology, this language of symbols, began over 30 years ago as a natural outgrowth of a desire to find meaning in her personal story. She's never followed an organized, traditional, linear education with astrology, and true to her own blueprint, she is a pioneer in the art of interpretation and translation of planetary influences. While she has had many spiritual mentors in her early years, what she calls old school psychic astrologer as her primary teacher, particularly for the first 7 years, the planets themselves are who she credits as her greatest inspiration and source of knowledge. Liz has an innate gift with reading patterns and symbols, and astrology opened the door to natural abilities brought forth from other lifetimes to now be accessed in a more intuitive and less scientific format. She is a skilled communicator and reads energy in each person's field and presence, along with the energy of the language itself. She also has developed a deep and abiding personal relationship with the planetary beings and is a channel for what they want to bring through to each client. So she's also very clairaudient and clairvoyant with a compassionate presence that is undiluted by personal opinions for what wants to show up in any session. As a full-time professional astrologer, she has met with close to 1,000 clients in private consultations and several hundred more in small group gatherings and public talks since 2012. Liz's work in the world is a deep reflection of her own commitment to the Oracle of Delphi aphorism, "Know thyself," as the central theme for human existence. She is a personal entrepreneur in spiritual business and a trusted resource in her community with a thriving client base both locally and throughout the United States. So, Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. That sounded really good. Wow, that's me.
It is, it is. Yeah. So you've really taken a different slant on astrology than anyone that I've ever met before, any readings I had. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and how you came to this point to be such an innovator in doing astrological readings?
Well, I think that it wasn't intentional or on purpose that I became an innovator. I think it was just a natural outgrowth of the way in which I'm designed to learn in a very independent way, and also just my commitment to my own healing and self-growth and self-discovery with astrology really as the backbone and the backdrop for how I was interpreting me and my process and life around me, that innovative approach happened really organically. And so as I became more fluent in the language of astrology through each decade, starting in my 20s, and I'm now 55, it opened up, I would say, neuropathways in my own brain that helped me access other dimensions. And in my 30s, I began what I would call a direct relationship with the planetary beings. And so it just became a natural way for me to be taught by them, which is kind of like going direct to the source and in relation to some of my own core wound themes around finding meaning or feeling there was a lack of meaning. It's always just made more sense to me to not have a middleman and to be really open to how I'm being taught directly. And so it's been definitely a process of trust. And really I reached a point probably in my late 40s where I actually debated on getting out of spiritual work. Like I thought, I want to try what it's feels like to be normal or to like do something, you know, that isn't so always ripe with transformation. I was a little burnt out on transformation, but I didn't really in that moment understand that the mandate of the soul is what the mandate of the soul is and that this was my life path. And so in 2012, when I turned 50, that was when pieces and parts of my life demanded that I lean into a deeper yes with astrology professionally. I'd had an on-again, off-again relationship with doing it professionally, partly because I owned a spiritual resource center in Savannah, Georgia for many years. And so as a business owner, I couldn't commit full-time to doing readings, which I think even back then there was a longing to just be engaged with people in a one-on-one way in their stories. I love that. And so when my Chiron return, which is a really big midlife transit that begins at late 49 or 50, hit for me, it was as if everything lined up and it was time for me to accept the responsibility of this gift in a fuller way. and really trust that the way that I interpret and translate astrology is has validity in the larger world. And so it took a lot of maturity on my timeline to come into ownership and acceptance of my own value with this as a gift. And the more I have, you know, these 1,000 readings over the last 5 years have really like honed how I now interpret astrology. I feel like I've learned astrology in a whole new way now. And that, and so the innovative part is that I'm not learning from teachers or books, you know, not that that isn't relevant or doesn't inform certain things, but the planets themselves are communicating directly to me, and I'm able to synthesize the meaning as I hear people's stories. And so that's what I think makes me so innovative is my translation ability.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know, and I can attest to that because I've had a session with Liz, and I've had sessions with other astrologers as well, and this was by far the most relevant, the most insightful, because it dealt with energy that was present,
yeah.
You know, during the session, not just, I've gone to the first astrology session that I had, somebody looked at the chart, and they go over all the technical aspects of it. Well, that's something I could probably read in books. But this was so different because, like you were saying, you bring in the energy not only of the planets, but you being clairvoyant and clairaudient, you also can read the energy of the client.
Yes, yeah.
And that really helps to add, you know, to what astrology means.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a combination of reading the patterns in the chart and then the patterns in the story and synthesizing them. And as we talk, like I've said earlier with you, that language is encoded with a vibrational frequency. So I don't ever presume to know, you know, what I need to talk about before a client comes. That's also kind of what makes it innovative and exciting, is that my prep is a very different kind of prep. It's looking at the chart and then asking my guidance for what's going to be relevant for this person, you know, and most of these 1,000 people I've never met before they come, so I don't know anything about them, and it's really challenged me to trust my gift and to trust what I get,
yeah.
Because everything I have done as an entrepreneur in spiritual business is through word of mouth, so that tells me that something is clicking with it, but it is such a combination of deep listening at a soul level, and that goes beyond sort of the personality story, and I think that's what's beneficial to people and even beneficial to my own healing journey as I engage with people, is how I listen to silence. That's one of my biggest gifts, is to be able to listen to silence and hear what's not being said. And that's sometimes the most relevant thing in a reading.
Okay, so basically the way you approach it is you do have the technical knowledge, you know all about the houses and the planets, but you're coming more from your heart.
Yes, and my technical knowledge, you know, is definitely not the muscle that has been most conditioned in this lifetime. I think when I look at my own chart, I've had other lifetimes probably as a technical astrologer, my south node in Aquarius, conjunct Saturn in Aquarius, and for those who know astrology may be able to just pull something relevant out of that. But, you know, when I try to be technical, something closes off in me. And that's what actually kept me from doing this professionally earlier, is because I thought I needed to be more a certain way that I thought traditional astrologers, or the way I heard about astrology, or, you know, part of astrology community wants to elicit in us. Once I leaned into what my innate gift was with it, everything opened up. Everything opened up. And so, but I also feel like, too, that I didn't step into it fully until it was sort of like a the alignment was perfect for me to have the maturity to accept the responsibility of this gift, because it's a huge responsibility to hold sacred space for what people reveal to me. It's really not light and fluffy material. And so to have the maturity to be neutral and compassionate and offer insight and not answers, not ever answers, but help them go deeper into questions where they can then move with courage and inspiration into the challenges, because the last 5 years, as everyone knows, have been, you know, some of the most challenging on the planet ever for every one of us.
Right, right. And by looking at it from that particular point of view, you're developing a relationship with the planet.
Correct.
And opening the clients to do the same.
Yes.
You know, you can open up the door for them, but then when they understand that the planets are like Pluto, which everyone says, oh, that's evolutionary and that's so prominent right now, not looking upon it as a thing, but as an energy and relating to it more on an energetic level, then maybe they don't have the gift that you do to that extent of helping others, but that can also help them in reading their own chart or in taking a reading and understanding more what their galactic presence is.
Yes, yes. I mean, I tell people this, and I'm definitely not an astrology teacher. I don't teach people astrology. That's not my gift. You know, and even in a reading, I tell people, I'm not going to teach you your chart. We're going to use your chart to extract meaning for what's relevant on in the current event of this moment of your life. But I also am aware, because of how I am connected to time and space, that past, present, and future are all one, and that there's almost like a time collapse in a reading, so that I'm bringing in information through all time in the present moment. And I think what people understand when they have a reading with me is that the Uranian energies or the Plutonian energies or Saturnian energies or Neptunian energies, in the story we can see how those beings are speaking to them in this particular scenario or this scenario in a way that isn't to harm them or make life hard, but it's all about in service to our soul. Right. What is the mandate for growth? And if you can understand that how life is showing up is in service to that, then for me, and you know, it makes it worthwhile. It gives me a feeling of calmness to be able to lean into what's happening, knowing that no harm can come.
Right.
That it's for my highest good. And so I help people. So what I'm really good at is helping reframe perceptions about what's happening.
And I can speak to that too.
Yeah.
very, very much so. A few things that came through my mind. And they just went out again, okay? Is that we all have mentioned and talked about the fact, yes, we choose our parents, you know, and that seems to be pretty common knowledge. We know that, you know, we choose our parents when we come here, and some of us even think about we choose exactly our body. You know, it's perfect for our soul growth.
Yes.
And for what we want to do. But we don't think about the fact that the time of our birth, we chose also to help our soul growth. And that's what you're emphasizing and saying, is that everything in your chart is perfect to help you be of service to your soul and evolve.
Yes, I totally, totally agree with that. And, you know, in a larger, even in a larger picture than that, have come to really understand the divine orchestration of the unfolding of the moment of our birth through time, that even if we did nothing and even if we weren't tuned into maybe how the universe is asking us to grow, the mandate of the blueprint is still going to take us through some process that it may be at another level of consciousness, but we're going to get there because that that is how we are divinely designed. That's part of the mystery that I don't know that I could explain, and yet I feel totally comfortable in that as a possibility of expression, is that it's all happening in perfect time, no matter what choices we make. And the chart reflects any number of choices that are part of the blueprint that are going to ultimately get us to the same place. It's just, I don't want to get there kicking and screaming.
Me either. You know, and it really gives a different perspective on your chart. It helps you, I think, to look upon it as everything is a gift.
Yes.
Where every placement of every planet, you know, in every sign is a gift and is there to really help you expand and grow.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, the both and-ness, and that's what I tell people in a reading too, is that on one hand, I might say a whole lot about something, and then on another hand, say a whole lot in direct contrast that is very paradoxical to what I just said, and they're both true. So while the chart is a great expression of being able to see life through the lens that it's all a gift, the human part of us may not always feel that way while it's happening. And so that, to me, also is super relevant, is that even in times of our greatest pain, which, you know, during this eclipse time right now and this sort of what I'm calling the summer of the final exam time of these last 5 years, is even knowing that there are great gifts in the ultimate outcome of these processes, it doesn't dilute the emotional experiences that we're having. And so sometimes we hold the both end of knowing that it's a gift and kind of leaning into what our bodies on a cellular level are needing to also experience.
Absolutely. Yes. I've been in my car before saying, I know this is in divine order, but I don't like the direction this is going.
Yeah, I've had many a conversation with God about how I think things should be going.
Yeah. Now, you brought up the eclipse.
Okay.
That's coming up, and that seems to be a hot topic with a lot of people. Is there any insight that you can give us about how we can really use this very pregnant time to leap forward and help the universe as well?
Oh, let's see. What wise words, when I think one part of me wants to say, I have no idea. You know, but I guess the main thing is, and there's so much astrologically and spiritually being written about these eclipses, and lots of that, there's lots of great nuggets of wisdom out there. But probably what I would say at a very personal level with the eclipses is, so I'll speak to it from that way, it's maybe easier, is I'm trying to be really, really attentive to the patterns. So since I'm obsessed with patterns and meaning, mm-hmm. I'm really thinking about what are the patterns in the last 5 years, particularly since 2012, have I been working on? Where are areas of my life really transformed or come to some sort of resolution that can't come forward? Because I feel like this eclipse time in the summer is really about leaning deeper into the unknown and really being aware of what patterns that connect to beliefs and that connect to our emotional responses to life don't have relevancy anymore. And where are there certain attachments to ways of responding to life or engaging with people that really don't serve the mandate for being in a higher heart-centered, compassionate, open, kind connection to our neighbors, our friends, our family, other people, strangers. You know, it's much simpler than we want to make it, I really believe. And so this eclipse time being so connected to the sign Leo is definitely moving us more into our heart center from a higher vibrational co-resonance with a quality of energy that is coming onto the planet and is part of this mysterious unfolding on the timeline, if we want to call it a timeline, that we're all participating in the evolutionary journey of the galaxy, really. So that's a big picture, but the small picture is to be attentive, to pay attention.
And one of the things that I can attest to that I was absolutely surprised with and delighted very much so is as a result of the session that we had, just being attentive to what was happening in my life after the session, that I got a new perspective on a belief that I held for decades that was no longer serving me.
Wow.
And it was so... It was such a wonderful feeling to release that finally. And at the same time thinking, oh my gosh, it was so easy to release that. Why did you not do that 30 years ago? But it was something that I had carried with me. But just being attentive to what is around you and the messages that you are getting, the feeling that you have in your gut that sometimes the mind says, oh, you know, just, you know, don't pay attention to that. Really helps us take that step.
Definitely, definitely. And timing is everything. You know, now is the time to have some of these really old cellular memories come to the surface to be released. And so the mind wants to engage in the rightness or wrongness of the timing, or even to say, gosh, why couldn't I have done it before now? And the truth is, if it didn't happen before now, then that wasn't the time, and it happened now,
right.
So now you're in alignment. And the only other thing that I thought to say about the eclipses that would be, I feel like, is helpful is that for people to know that, you know, we're all, regardless of where we think we are on our spiritual path or where we think someone else is not on their spiritual path, we're all in this process. There's no hierarchy. There's no somebody, you know, there's no I've been there, done that kind of mentality that really it has any relevance right now. And one thing that's so helpful for me is to recognize that everyone I come in contact with, whether I know them or I don't know them, is in a deep personal process. And that's something that what I call the living laboratory or the living astrology laboratory of my reading room has taught me is that what we think about people that elicits a response in us that is where judgment or anger or negativity or lack of tolerance or oppression comes from is to really recognize that what's going on inside of absolutely everyone right now is connected to their own cellular release through all time. Their karmic pipeline is being cleared, and it's difficult and it's painful. And so, you know, when we bump up against somebody else's karmic clearing, it can create a lot of discomfort, and it can trigger or elicit an angry, judgmental response in us. And I really feel like, especially during this eclipse in Leo, having a lot more compassion and understanding that how you're meeting with people, that there's a lot more that's going on than we are aware of, and to really, really be kinder.
A lot more that's going on.
Yeah.
Because there isn't anyone who is not affected by these energies.
No, no one is exempt. No one, no one, no one.
And it's also a time to have compassion for yourself, as you were saying, and not think that anything that you did was wrong.
Right.
That at every moment of your life, you know, past, present, and future, that we are all doing the best that we can at that time. So everything is just appropriate for what happens at every moment.
And speaking to that, thinking about, you know, when I think about my own journey, and I've been thinking about that a lot lately, about a kind of arriving and feeling like I'm really at age 55 at home in my skin, at home in my body in a way that I've never been before. And maybe that's part of the timeline of maturity that happens for a woman in her 50s, but at the same time, it's a recognition that nothing happens out of order. And so part of all of the eclipse energy and where the last 5 years has led us, it's also for each one of us to come into a deeper relationship with what I call dormant DNA that's being activated, and qualities of authenticity. Sorry, I'm losing track. I just lost track. So anyway, it's really about everyone recognizing that that something is being asked now. It's not just clearing the karmic timeline, but it's coming into a quality of your original intention that needs expression.
That it's really helping us to evolve and to be more of who we ever thought we could be.
Yes, and yeah. to come into an understanding of our value.
Okay, we've got a few questions over here.
Okay,
Liz,
sure.
Do you want to take a question?
Yeah, that's what distracted me. I saw you.
Okay, I'm going to put on the air now. Question from the last four digits of your phone number is 5142.
Hello.
Hi. And who are we speaking to?
Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hi. Should I give you my birth date?
No, just ask your question.
Oh, okay. Regarding my career, do you see my business pick being successful and picking itself back up, that I won't need a part-time job anymore?
Okay. Well, that's a very, let's see. How old are you?
52.
And you're asking if say the question again.
If my job, my career that I have, I'm self-employed, but I took on a part-time job just because of the slack that was going on, it was getting slow, and I was just wondering, do you see my business picking itself back up more, you know, more busier and successful, that I won't need this part-time job?
So here's how I would answer that, not having your chart in front of me, not and not having any other context except to know that you're 52. So thank you for the question and the spontaneous challenge of answering it in this way. So you are in a very key juncture of your life that's called the Chiron return. And so really the question is like, is less about will your business pick up or will you need to keep the part-time job? But I would go deeper into asking sort of where have you not taken, well, let me think of it a different way. At 52, you're being asked to step into pieces and parts of yourself that have long been dormant. So my question for you would be, if you were sitting in my reading room and I had your chart in front of me, is what are you most afraid of? And I would look at that in relevance to some planetary context, because just from the way that I would answer the question now, you know, my sort of clairvoyance piece and part of me comes into greater context with more pieces of your story. So I don't think I can honestly answer that question, you know, what are you going to need to do? But I think the deeper question is, what do you want to do? And what are you, where do you feel fear that feels like a limitation in taking a bigger step into something that actually feels a little risky?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome.
So you had mentioned Chiron return.
Yes.
Without knowing anything else about her chart. Is there any general information about Chiron return that, you know, this happened so many years?
Well, it happens for everyone. And so thinking, and that's when I said, how old is she? It's 52, because I'm 55 and have come through that journey. And so the Chiron return it can be a really big time for everyone where we're sort of recapitulated into core wound themes that need to be integrated, where we come into an awareness of our mortality. And it is a time to lean into saying, I'm going to say yes to maybe what I've always said no to. And that's what I think for her is it's less about, do I need to keep the part-time job or is my business going to succeed? It's just, it would be more about what is being asked of you to do things differently, to break patterns that keep us in limited, smaller containers of our physical, emotional, psychic space that leaves us feeling sort of less than fulfilled.
So whatever is happening or whatever we're concerned about in the 3D world, look at it from a spiritual perspective.
Yes, and at 49, 50, 51, 52, and then into 53 with the Chiron return, it can bring up scenarios where of our deepest pain, whether it's career changes, parents dying, you know, anything that kind of elicits something at a very deep cellular level that reminds us of where we feel flawed or insecure in some very, very deep way. And so thinking about things 3D versus 5D, that's one of the, during this time period, you know, her question really is about staying in the known. That's really what she's asking is, please tell me something so that I can feel more secure. And the 5D reality says, lean into the unknown. And that would be advice I would give across the board to anyone of any age right now, and to her as well, you know, is that the more that we can rest in our insecurity and release our need to know, the more magic and serendipitous life can reveal possibilities to us. But trying to stay in the known keeps us in a tighter container that has a lot of fear attached to it.
Because staying in the known is connecting only with your physicality.
Staying in the known is trying to connect to guarantees. And that's something that I've learned so much through my what I would call my other dimensional contact with the planetary beings and my own guides. If I go into try to stay in the known, I start to feel anxious. And then when I relax and surrender and allow and trust, I feel so much freer. And that's not that's been my life practice. But that's not always easy when we're working with conditioned responses. And at 52, that's the other piece of the Chiron return is that, you know, that it's a time to really move beyond cultural conditioning and family conditioning, and that always connects to the known.
Right, it does.
It does.
And to recognize that we are more than just a physical being, we are this spiritual being that is unlimited and flows. And when you flow, you can't control the direction.
Right. And the Chiron return time is definitely a time to come into greater integration between the physical, the human, and the divine, and integrate that in a way where we're living both. You know, that this human experience is really got. That we're immersed in our connection to the galaxy and the cosmos, but we're living in this very present moment awareness of the physical body. It's not enough to me to say there's more than this and I'll just wait till I get there. You know, I'm a good Taurus, so I always say I like the food here and I want to have a really good experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. You ready for another question?
Okay, we'll try it.
Okay. This is now the last four digits are 4620. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Andrea. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
What's your question?
Well, this past January, I tried out for a TV show, and I'm just wondering what you kind of get from this journey. Is it going to continue, or do I maybe have to try out all over again?
So you tried out for a TV show?
Yeah, America's Got Talent. This past year, I tried out. I still feel the energy around me. I just don't know what it is yet.
How old are you?
I'm 54.
So you're coming out of the Chiron return time, and so I guess another question I would ask you is using your voice or your creativity been a lifelong dream of some kind?
Yes, I actually sign music and sign language because I can't sing with my voice.
And so did you, so I don't know if I can really answer that question about, so you're asking if you're going to be able to get on America's Got Talent?
Well, do you think the journey is, the doors are closed or the doors are still open, or do you may feel I have to try out again next year?
I don't know that I can answer that specifically, except to say there is, you know, that to use this eclipse energy in Leo, which connects to creativity, self-expression, following our heart and following our passion, it might be that you're being asked to sort of broaden or expand your perception of how you can use your gift and use your voice and use your talent and maybe open up to possibilities that look different than what you thought. That would be all I can say, because the experience of being turned down for that exposure is connected to something that I would say is in your natal blueprint that is asking for a resolution or an awareness about something, you know, personal to you. So I would break it down and make it smaller.
Okay.
You know, as opposed to seeing, and it's really, what I also hear is that connects to something external authority, external validation. And so I think, you know, what I'm hearing in this moment is that you're being asked to connect to your own inner authority with regards to how you want to use your talent, and not necessarily knock on doors that are going to give you a yes or a no. How can you use it regardless of the yes or the no?
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So, yeah, you're welcome.
So Zach brought up the thing of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can talk about that a little
bit.
We want to really fulfill our gifts and our soul, be of service to our soul. And the best way to do that is to be open, you know, to make the personal dedication that we will do that and be open to how that exactly is going to look.
Yes, yes. And so, like, even thinking about her question and relating to what you're saying, is that's part of the process that is happening now, is to really work with where our conditioned habitual responses are that connect to expectations or connect to all of the ways in which we seek to have our value reflected back to us. And it really is an inside job. And so there's something very empowering about coming into ownership of our gifts and talents in ways that don't need somebody else telling us if they're worthy or not. And so when I hear a question like that, or if I had her chart, you know, the bigger question is where are you not allowing or not seeing all of the ways that these gifts have other relevancy or expression in other formats other than in the one that sort of has the glamour and the fame attached to it. I think our culture is very attached to the bigness of things. And so when we kind of can come back into our center and recognize that in our ordinary experience there is great joy to be known, great love to be known, great acknowledgement to be known, it can relax us into not limiting ourselves by seeking, by knocking on doors that the universe is saying it's time to move in another direction.
Right, and we have so many examples nowadays of people who have done that, of some people that have lost their jobs and were very devastated, but then started tinkering into what they really were interested in and became more successful than they ever would have been.
Yes.
If they were not have been laid off or fired. Or the other thing that I was thinking of is even looking at somebody like Joe Dispenza, who has written a book called You Are the Placebo, who was a very successful chiropractor in his 20s and a triathlete as well, very comfortable in his career and in the height of it and helping it grow, and all of a sudden got slammed in an accident, you know, with a truck that caused him to be immobile. And through that, he learned about self-directed neuroplasticity and healed himself and is off an entirely different tangent.
And that is a really great sort of segue into what happened to me at 50 at the beginning of my Chiron return, and how there is the redirects. You know, the redirects are so important to be aware of, and when we're attached or we have expectations, then we have resistance. And that can, in and of itself, create suffering. So, when I was in my late 40s, I had written a spiritual memoir and really had a lot of acknowledgement from a potential editor that this was sort of like the next Eat, Pray, Love kind of book, and it was very ego boosting, and it was a great carrot, and it didn't go anywhere. but I put a lot of my eggs in that basket, and I was on a timeline with my finances and this book, and they were not matching up. And it was very stressful, and so this is a story I've told a lot, but I was at a place where I was literally running out of money, and I said to my partner, you know, what do I do? And she had come from a more corporate background, and I've always had a very not corporate background. And her comment was, well, most people get a job. And it was like that had never dawned on me. You know, not that because my job had been sort of my creativity and the past entrepreneurial experiences. And it was in that moment of like, and this is part of where my own innovative personality comes in of, oh my God, I don't even know what job I would qualify for at this point at 50. My only gifts are my astrology gifts. And that was in that moment. It was like, well, all right. It was kind of like I threw up my hands to the universe and said, fine, I will do it. You know, because like, I had this love-hate relationship, and it was around my own sense of value and worth and meaning and accepting the responsibility. But in that moment, the universe had me backed into a corner. Mm. And I could have resisted and gone and gotten a regular job. And lately I've been walking around going, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for the courage to have said yes back in that moment. Because when I said yes in 2012, the universe said yes to me back in a big way. But they really did back me into they being, you know, who, my guides, the universe, the mystery,
right,
back me into a corner where was like, I feel like they laugh at me a lot and say, well, we finally got her where we wanted her. She has to do this now.
And I have no choice.
Yeah, and I think I was at a maturity point where I could accept it, and I've never looked back, and I've loved every minute of it. It truly, truly is my passion, so in a way that I could never have imagined being gifted with, a skill that nobody gets to tell me if it's okay to use.
Right, and it's so helpful.
Yes,
it's
and
so
I get
helpful
to help so many people, yes.
To that. And sometimes, in addition to backing you in the corner, the universe can test you.
Yes.
Yes, and see, and this is what I have found in my life is when I had wanted to start my own business, and I knew it would take a lot of work, and I had no idea, absolutely no idea how receptive it was going to be. I got a call from somebody who was aware of my background and wanted me desperately to work for him. And he was a national figure and could pay me well and could give me lots of benefits and exposure. And twice he called me and said, but don't you want to do this? And I just remember, I almost had a vision of a jail. Like if I did that, you know, if I surrendered what I really wanted to do at that point, and I had no guarantee that it would ever be successful.
I would call that guidance. You know? I think your guidance gave you that image.
Yeah, it was kind of like, no, I just can't do this. I didn't even think that much about it because I just knew I couldn't do it. It just sounded and felt like being in a jail. And so that's one of the things that I noticed also is after the universe gets us in the corner and we agree that sometimes it wants to make sure, you know, that we're really committed to it.
Yes, and that's one thing I'll say with working with people's charts and the astrology that feels so super relevant is to use their charts along with their current stories and to really understand how is the universe moving you into new energies and new expressions and higher frequency combinations of experience. And so that's one of the things that I really love with the readings is that to help people move into the higher frequency and to move out of these old conditioned patterns of limiting beliefs or the core wound themes. I mean, I think people, my clients really come to me and reveal very, 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 we go very deep, very, very fast. And so it's so helpful to kind of expedite the process at this time with the readings for people to give them a sense of what's possible using their chart in a way that the feedback I get is that the changes seem to be immediate, not because I give them an answer or I do anything to create the change, but that in that conversation there's an awareness and an awakened awareness that says, not only do I have to do this, but I get to do it. So it's like an excitement that this is mine to do. And mm-hmm. that in and of itself kind of can release fear when you realize that, well, first of all, there is nothing to fear by being authentic. And that's what our conditioning has really limited us and is in our expression of our authenticity at a very, not only human level, but our authenticity that connects to the what I call the original intention that has its origins in the galactic consciousness.
So regardless of what our chart says, I know some people will look and say, oh, I have more aspects or I have more trines or I've got a planet in Aquarius or my south node is here and so this means something grander, greater. Regardless, we are all meant to shine.
Yes, and that is, I think, is a very pure and simple message of the eclipse is we are all meant to shine. And it's not shining in a hierarchical way. It's not shining in a way where somebody shines more. It's like if we are being true to our immortal essence, then that in and of itself creates a resonance that is part of our auric field, that as that contacts other people, other situations, it facilitates healing. And that is what is going to lift this planet into another place, is tending to that within ourselves. And a lot of people are more driven to tend to what is outside as a way to create change. But I really believe, and that's what I work with people's charts, is that it must come from within in order to anchor what's happening on the planet right now and what's coming in.
Right, so that if we say, well, we're going to help the planet, so we're sending energy out, we are the planet.
Yeah, and I don't think we're sending energy out. I think as we live the essence of our truth, and truth is not about beliefs, you know, I'm talking about truth that can, you know, what is true is always true. Beliefs are based on opinions and experiences and dogmas.
Right.
And so as we kind of live into this higher frequency of of truth. It isn't that we send it out. It's just that we live it, and it pulsates.
Just by us being part of the grid.
Exactly. Exactly. And the grid with the eclipse is definitely going into a higher voltage. We're all plugging into a higher voltage with these eclipses. So I think, one thing I would say, too, is to really, over these next couple of weeks, I know for me, as busy as I am with readings, I want to make sure that I'm anchoring into nature and spending time in quiet and really centering myself, because there is definitely a disruptive quality to the energy now, as much in the field as being shattered and re-put back together.
So by breathing, by taking time to really do conscious breathing, by connecting to nature, even if it's sitting in an apartment looking at a tree.
Definitely, anything you can do. And by being quiet, too. I think sometimes we're such information seekers, and in this age of technology, that to unplug from all of that, I think, is very important, really actually super important.
So knowing that the best way that you can approach these next few weeks in particular is by being quiet, is by being true to who you are. And if you have no idea of what that is, by being open to that.
Yes. Yeah, I think that everybody is getting many, many clues on the scene, on all the different stages of their life. I sometimes talk, the analogy I use in a reading often is that the houses, the 12 houses in a chart, are akin to theatrical stages where an internal part of life is being acted out and an external part of life is being acted out. And the planets are the actors, and the signs therein are their scripts. So there's this dance, this interaction between the soul and the personality that's always being acted out. And then you throw in other people's actors that land on our stage, and it's a very, very dynamic energy. So for the next few weeks, it's really going to, to listen to what your needs are. Some people may need to be in a more Leo enlivening energy, but whatever it is, I would say just erase any shoulds.
That sounds good. Yeah. I like that, just erase any shoulds.
Yeah.
Follow your own heart.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, there are no right or no wrong.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in no rules.
We have just a few minutes left. Is there any parting thought that you want to share?
Oh, gosh. I think I've said a lot, and I think that a lot of times when I end a reading, I just tell people to go forth in joy and trust that no harm can come from leaning into your highest good, and recognizing that we don't necessarily have to know what our highest good is, that will be revealed.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. No harm can come.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, this has really been a riveting session and very helpful to this time right now that we're coming into, and a lot of great guidance. Thank you very much for sharing that.
I guess you're going to give people my contact information.
I was just going to ask you, okay, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, yes. So do you want to tell them, or do you want me to tell them?
Okay, you can repeat it. Let's see. They can contact you through...
They can go to my website, lizgunn.net, or contact me at lizgunn, LIZGUNN22 at Gmail, or 828-702-1197. I answer my phone and I respond to emails.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's 828-702-1197, or the website again is
lizgunn.net, LIZGUNN.net.
.net. Okay. And just want to thank everyone for listening to Journey into Oneness. We're just so grateful for Liz for
thank you so much.
All that you know she's shared with us. And if you have any feedback or comments on today's program, you can contact me, Darlene Soa, at www.passionatemoves.com or DARSTAR1 at sbcglobal.net. Until next month, then, breathe in the miracle of the present, the miracle of who you are, and remember that you are the light of the world. So enjoy the beauty that is within and around you. Namaste.